did your hole.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed blessed. We are grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. We'll begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be in the form of a supplication, and it's taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands, so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I can't wait to get Mother and the Sisters. Yeah, I go through a weekly withdrawal from Mother and the Sisters. I know it's not good to get attached to any one person or group. I have this affection. I mean, I love them like a mother and a sister. In fact, I call Mother Gabriel. I slip many times. I call her Mom. Mom, what do you think?
Okay, and I'll call you my son. That's okay, Peter.
I love that.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'll take you as my son.
I demoted you and you elevated me, so I don't know how that works well. But you know, Mother, I was just thinking about something, and this just came to mind just a moment ago. Think of the last 5 days we've had, including today. Pentecost Sunday, Monday, the feast of Mary, Mother of the Church. Tuesday, the feast of St. Joan of Arc, a role model for all young women, for young men, for everyone, for the bravery and the fortitude that she had. Wednesday, the feast of Mary's visitation to Elizabeth and all the implications and the subtle reminders, hints, and secrets that are contained in that. And then today, the feast of St. Hannibal de Francia, the spiritual director to Luisa Picanetta for 17 years, and the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert this year from Our Lady of La Salette, not to mention the founder of two religious orders. So 5 days, I mean, you can't repeat this, but every day is so important if we actually look and take the time to recognize each day for itself. Again, when we say grateful to have awakened, we mean that. That's not just words. Right, Mother?
Yeah, they say every day in the Divine Will is like Christmas, and we had a whole week of like Christmases because yes, we've had lots of feast days, and it's a week of many graces. So we feel very privileged, you know. And yesterday, the great feast of our visitation, Our Lady visiting Elizabeth. I was just reading here from Our Lady's Lessons in the Queen of Heaven. As I became mother of Jesus and your mother, my seas of love doubled, and unable to contain them all, I felt the need to pour them out and to be the first bearer of Jesus to creatures, even at the cost of great sacrifices. But what am I saying? Sacrifices? When one really loves, sacrifices and pains are refreshments. There are reliefs and outpourings of the love one possesses. Oh, my child, if you do not feel the good of sacrifice, if you do not feel how it brings the most intimate joys, it is a sign that divine love does not fill all your soul, and therefore that the divine will does not reign as queen in you. It alone gives such strength to the soul as to render her invincible and capable of bearing any pain. So, you know, the cross is a great gift. We don't like to suffer. We lament over suffering. We try to get rid of our pains. We were talking to Geraldine Ryan yesterday from Australia, who's a great teacher of the divine will. She suffered many, many years. I forget how many years she said she was really in a lot of physical pain and suffering from a broken marriage. I mean, she really suffered a lot. And our Lord later, when he began to use her to be a teacher, she became a hermit, teacher of the divine will. He said, I had to crush you in order to prepare you to use you in the way I want to use you. And she said, now one of the things that she suffers from is not suffering physical pain, because she has no more physical pain. She just really lives very much in the divine will, not totally in the divine will. But she was our teaching was just really beautiful yesterday. We enjoyed listening to her and how what Lord has brought her through, but how pains, sufferings transforms our souls to make us ready for God to use us in any way he wants to use us. We have to realize the gift and how much he loves us when he allows suffering in our lives. And right now we have sufferings throughout the world. We have sufferings in the government, in society. We have all kind of crazy things going on. And on the other hand, we have such fantastic, wonderful things going on, like this week of great feast days, and I everywhere I go, I see the divine will really growing. It's growing in Northern Ireland. It's amazing what's happening up there. It's growing in Australia. It's growing in Germany. It's growing in so many different countries. In the U.S., there's a retreat now in Pennsylvania. It was filled up right away because what are people interested in? They're interested in the divine will more and more. We go to Medjugorje. Everybody we meet seems to be reading the divine will. So it's a great time to be alive with this great gift and realize that God has to send his justice in order to purify us, to make us ready for the whole world to be living in this great gift. I think it's going to be given as an infused gift eventually to all the people who are left after this great chastisement takes place. Goes on to say, place your hand upon your heart and observe how many voids of love there may be in it. Reflect that secret of self-esteem. You're becoming disturbed at every slightest adversity. Those little attachments you feel to things and to people, that tiredness in good, that bother caused in you by that which is not your liking, are equivalent to as many voids of love within your heart. Voids which, like little fevers, deprive you of the strength and of the desire to be filled with divine will. Oh, how you too will feel the refreshing and conquering virtue in your sacrifices if you fill these voids with love. So what causes us to be attached to our self-esteem, disturbed at the slightest little adversity, all these little attachments that we have, and people disturbing us? What is it? We have to die to ourselves. We have to realize our nothingness. And when we die to ourselves and realize our nothingness, we become so joyful. St. Francis said, humility is perfect joy. But this living in the divine will goes beyond humility. It's realizing your nothingness. You mentioned many times, Peter, about the shadow. We're nothing but a shadow. And shadow disappears. There's nothing there, we have to realize how good God is to us, to give us his great gift and to desire to relive his life in us, which makes us so valuable then that we can have divine acts done within us through our desire of wanting it to be done. It goes on to say, I went to her and not to make a simple visit, but because I burned with the desire to bring her Jesus, the fullness of grace, of love, and of light that I feel within me push me to bring, to multiply, to increase 100-fold the life of my son in creatures. So I'll skip the little part here. Our Lady was saying that she departed from Nazareth and she was accompanied by Saint Joseph. It was a long journey. And they were having to cross mountains, and it was not that easy. She was pregnant, just beginning her pregnancy. But she said to go to Elizabeth, who was very old, but miraculously had become a mother. But she was saying, she went to her not just to visit her, but because she had this great desire to bring her son Jesus to Saint Elizabeth. She says, the love of the mother, which I had for all men and for you in particular, was so great that I felt the extreme need to give my dear Jesus to everyone that all might possess him and love him. The right of mother given to me by the fiat enriched me with such power as to multiply Jesus as many times as there are creatures who want to receive him. This was the greatest miracle I could perform, to have Jesus ready to give to whomever desired him. How happy I felt. So Our Lady just went to St. Elizabeth to bring Jesus to her and to bring Jesus to St. John. She said at the greeting that she gave St. Elizabeth, this marvelous phenomena occurred. She said, little Jesus exalted in her womb. And fixing little John in the womb of his mother with the rays of his divinity, he sanctified him, gave him the use of reason. Can you imagine St. John, a little infant in his mother, a little baby in his mother's womb, reaching the age of reason, just becoming to the presence of Jesus. Made known to him that he was the Son of God. So St. John all of a sudden realized this was the Son of God. And John leaped so vigorously with love and with joy that Elizabeth was shaken, touched by the light of the divinity of my son. She too recognized that I had become the mother of God. And in the emphasis of her love, trembling with gratitude, she exclaimed, whence comes to me so much honor that the mother of my Lord would come to me? What a great time that must have been for Our Lady and Saint Elizabeth to greet one another that way. And then the Magnificat that came about through that moment that the whole world has been praying for all these centuries. We pray it, you know, every day for Vespers, but we also pray it every time we change adoration hours with a sister. One sister starts it and the other sister responds. So we do the Magnificat many times during the day. It goes on to say, my child, I felt devoured with the desire to pour out the flames of love that consumed me and to reveal my secret to Elizabeth, who also longed for the Messiah to come upon earth. I mean, they had been praying for the Messiah to come upon earth for a long time. Our Lady as a child was praying at the temple for the Messiah to come. I'm sure St. Elizabeth was also. A secret is a need of the heart, which is revealed irresistibly to persons who are capable of understanding each other. Who can ever tell how much good my visit brought to Elizabeth, to John, and to their whole household? Everyone was sanctified, filled with gladness, felt unusual joys, and comprehended things unheard of. John in particular received all the graces which were necessary for him to prepare himself to be the precursor of my son. Can you imagine what happened at that moment? The whole household was transformed. They were all sanctified and filled with joy with the presence of Jesus in his mother's womb. And John received in that moment all the graces that was going to be necessary for him to be the precursor of Jesus. She says, dearest child, the divine will does great and unheard of things wherever it reigns. If I worked many prodigies, it was because it had its royal place in me. If you let the divine will reign in your soul, you too will become the bearer of Jesus to the creatures. You too will feel the irresistible need to give him to all. And as you read the divine will more and more, all the time, every day, you begin to see everyone through the eyes of Jesus. You begin to love everyone with his love. You become happier. People don't bother you the same. You want to give him to Jesus. When you love the divine will, you want to share it with everybody. There's so many programs right now on the internet all about the divine will, because people cannot hold back once they fall in love with it. They want everybody to know it. They want to share it with everyone. So that's enough, I think, if anybody else wants to say something.
No, that was great, Mother. There's just so much there to comment on. But you know, toward the end there, you know, that's why I think this is such a great reading, this meditation number one. Start off by saying, you know, do we have that desire to share Jesus? Do we have that desire to bring this gift of living the divine will to others? Maybe a question we have to ask each other. And when you started off, Mother, you said about how the sacrifices, a point in time with trace with faith, trust, and hope, and of course during the divine will, these sacrifices, these pains of sacrifice become refreshments. And how is that not difficult to believe? I mean, God can do anything he wants. Just a matter of changing the neurons. Instead of having a pain receptor, you give an endorphin for something that should have pain. So God can work miracles. He does. Remember, grace anticipates the soul. So the moment we need that grace, he has it there for us. And then you also mentioned about Our Lady, or Luisa, saying about how, who knows the good that occurred in that house? We only know what we're told. We can only know what God will explain to us. And that's why everything we do in the name of God, in the fulfillment of bringing this gift to all, which Jesus asks us to do, we don't know how to be measured. We don't have to worry about metrics. We just do our job and let God do the rest, because all this is going to happen. It's a divine decree. It's not a matter of is it going to happen. It's a matter of when it's going to happen. And we do think it's going to be soon because of everything that's going on. And last but not least, the voids. That was so important because Jesus explains about the voids. There are two voids. There's a good void. There's a bad void, really quickly. The good void is that space in our soul that God has placed, has created so that we may house him. And this is something that's as elastic as ever, because again, it has no boundaries. As much as we take in of the knowledge of God, it can expand to that degree. So that's a good void. That's a place for God. The second void, which Luis is speaking about here, is this is the bad void. This is the voids that we have created. There are actually missed opportunities to give love, glory, and honor to God on the level of God, due to God. And those have to be filled. Jesus tells Luis and us that these voids that we've created, that we've out of our neglect, basically, or maybe ignorance at times, they must be filled for us to enter heaven. So he's giving us an opportunity now to fill those voids on earth before purgatory. And that's why if we live completely in this gift, like Jesus explains, if we fill all those voids, there is no need for purgatory because everything has been filled. So, all the potholes have been filled. You don't have to send the trucks out anymore. It's done. So that's what God is saying. And that's such an important lesson. And I love this passage, Mother. And thank you for sharing that with us. That was incredible. And again, that's just what we observed. I mean, if we just meditate on this and pray on this, God has a lot more to speak about. Speaking of a lot more to speak about. Hello, Sister Pamela.
Hello. Yeah, you're right. Like sometimes I'm meditating the rosary and it's incredible how many mysteries you can find in one single situation or act of Our Lady of Jesus himself. Like it is amazing how deep you can dig into it and you're never going to finish. And that's the divine will. The divine will is an immense, infinite sea that is unimaginable. There's no beginning, no end. And with Our Lady too, like she is the Ark of the New Covenant, because with her fiat mihi, she made the Word to be incarnate on her womb and to bring us redemption and now sanctification through our Mama Luisa as well, because she's our mom as well. Like she carried the divine will in her, and now we have been given that this precious gift of God. I was reading from volume 12, January 10, 1921. The fiat mihi of the Most Holy Virgin. I'm not going to read everything, but I'm going to start with this. Then he added, "The first yes in my fiat I ask of my dear mama, and all power of her fiat in my will. As soon as the divine fiat met with the fiat of my mama, the two became one. My fiat raised her, divinized her, overshadowed her, and without human intervention, she conceived me, Son of God. Only in my fiat could she conceive me. My fiat communicated to her the immensity, the infinity, the fecundity in a divine manner. And this is why the immense, the eternal, the infinite one could be conceived in her. As soon as she said, fiat mihi, not only did she take possession of me, but she overshadowed all creatures, all created things together. She felt all the lives of creatures within herself. And from that moment, she began to act as mother and queen of all. How many portents does this yes of my mama not contain? If I wanted to tell them all, you will never finish hearing them." It's just a beautiful reading that struck me, because how just simply saying yes to God, infusing your yes into His yes and Our Lady's yes, can work infinite things in our souls, in everybody. And I remember also reading in the Book of Our Lady about how Mary felt that urging of bringing Jesus to her cousin, Saint Elizabeth. And I think this is how Mother said, with all this divine will gift, we cannot contain everything. It's Jesus in us who contains it. And it's that origin of giving it to the soul so that everybody can be united and be in one single heart, which is the increate heart of the Father, of the Holy Trinity. And for me, at least, it's just also incredible how everything is just together, like nothing is old and nothing is new, but at the same time it is, because God is always and is always new, and everything you get from the Book of Heaven is always new and is always eternal. And everything, like for us, that all the sisters that are reading the book, not everybody gets the same truth, but at the same time when you share it with someone else, it connects, like it matches. And it is how a lady also, I imagine it, when she went to St. Elizabeth, and St. Elizabeth got invested in that Holy Spirit to know and to be able to know that she was the mother of God, is that powerful love of the creation of our Lord that is wanting not to give us the same thing to us through Our Lady, give that word of God and live in us. And also something else that struck me the most is that I never thought about the fecundity of Our Lady. I mean, I knew and I believed that she is the mother of God, but I didn't quite understood before, like, how come she was able to conceive our Lord, since He is infinite and He is divine. And for me, this was a confirmation of how the divinity of God contains everything, even the fecundity. And divine, it means life, and the life means fecundity. So since our mother fused herself to this fiat, and this fiat, these two fiats became one, she literally just received everything from God, and God dwelling in herself gave everything of His divinity to be able to complete and fulfill this portent of love, which is the incarnation of Christ. And I can go on and on, but sometimes I don't have the words how to explain them because it's so immense. But I just want to add another reading from, it's the same volume, the next reading from January 17, 1921. And it says, "My daughter, the fiat is all full of life. Even more, it is life itself. And therefore, all lives and all things come out from within the fiat. From my fiat, creation came out. Therefore, in each created thing, one can see the imprint of the fiat. From the fiat mihi of my dear mama, pronounced in my volition, having the same power of my created fiat, redemption came out. So there is nothing in redemption which does not contain the imprint of the fiat mihi of my mama. Even my very humanity, my steps, the works, the words, were sealed by her fiat mihi. My pains, the wounds, the thorns, the cross, my blood had the imprint of her fiat mihi, because things carry the imprint of the origin from which they came out. My origin in time was the fiat mihi of the Immaculate Mama. Therefore, all my operating carries the mark of her fiat mihi. So in each sacramental host, there is her fiat mihi. If man rises from sin, if the newborn is baptized, if heaven opens to receive souls, it is the fiat mihi of my mama that marks, that follows everything, and from it, everything proceeds. O power of the fiat, it rises at each instant, it multiplies, and it makes itself life of all goods." And I just finished on, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Divine Will, for this wonderful gift. And for Our Lady, our Mama, made possible the redemption. And now the sanctification of all souls. And I think you all should really read the Book of Heaven and enter in this immense love of our Lord that he wants to give to us and give it back to him with his own love.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Pamela. It's very sweet. You know, and never question your English second language. Your ESL is perfect. You know, your English is as good as mine. And I've been here for 50, 60 years. You know, you mentioned about how this divine will brings everything together. It's like everything God has given us over the last 2,000 years have been pieces of a puzzle. And think about, I mean, I have difficulty with a 100-piece puzzle. Can you imagine if you had a zillion-piece puzzle? How would you put that together? And then now the divine will comes, and it's actually like instructions on how to put the puzzle together. I mean, some of us start with the corners, some start in the middle, but this will give us instructions. It's almost as if every piece is marked. Connect one to two, two to three, and it becomes simple. That's what the divine will does. It explicates everything that's been given to us. It fulfills the Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism that states no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, but it is for the generations to follow us to better understand what has already been given. It's all here. It's all available if we want it. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
I'm free to dream. You are listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to our program, The School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Claire, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone back to the School of Mary. And I just want to take a brief moment here to talk about something very, very important. You're listening to Radio Maria, Christian voice in our home, and we're doing so because of the generosity of many. It takes money to operate a facility and an operation and a broadcast like Radio Maria does. And we're thankful for everyone that has contributed. I want to make an offer again, as we usually do, for anyone making a donation today, preferably a monthly, a reoccurring monthly, because that way Radio Maria can sort of get their arms around what's coming in when, and they know what to do when, if that makes any sense. But if you can go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That's radiomaria.us is the website. And the phone number is 888-408-0201. And we'd like to make that offer again. Anyone making a donation? Again, the donation can be made whether you're listening live or listening in the archives. Just call in the radio station when the volunteers are available, and we'll be able to get two things to you as a gift. Number one, a relic card, a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of her clothing. Actually, this began, well, not with her clothing, by St. Honorable de Francia, who we'll speak about a little bit later since it is his feast day today. He founded the Children of the Divine Will. It was an initiative where there's no registration, no regulations, no reunions, no payments, no obligations, no guilty consciences. I mean, just purely faith in our Lord and our Lady and in Luis's writings, which, again, from our Lord and our Lady. So they did this, and they put out this prayer, this card, many, many years ago. And given the abrogation, the ecclesiastical approval by the diocese, and now they've taken that to another level. They've actually created it into a relic card. Again, it has a piece of Luis's clothing. So we're offering this to anyone as a gift for making a donation to help keep Radio Maria alive and vibrant, to keep Divine Will programming and all the great programming on Radio Maria up and running as it ought to be. And also the second gift we will give is it's about the size of a credit card. It's the I Am Catholic card. And it just says, in case of emergency, please call a priest. Fiat has our website, of course, for any further information on the Divine Will that you'd like. And on the back has the act of consecration, act of contrition, so that if anyone does find us in need, calls the priest. And that's recited. We do what we can in our weaning hours. So again, please call 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Again, very important. Again, Our Lady has spoken through the works of all the volunteers, of all the employees, the very few employees of Radio Maria. So please be generous if you can be. God knows what we can do. He knows what we can't do. And he knows exactly what Sister Jacinta can do or cannot do. Hello, Sister.
Yes, amen. True, yeah. So what I'd like to read today, it's from Volume 17, December 8th, 1924. And Jesus explains to Luisa on the Immaculate Conception how the greatest prodigy was the continuous outpouring of the divine will upon her. So in the beginning of this passage, Luisa was just thinking about and reflecting on the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. And she writes, "The qualities, the beauties, and the prodigies of her Immaculate Conception were pouring into my mind. Our prodigy thus surpasses all other prodigies made by God in all of creation." And as Luisa was just contemplating and meditating upon the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady, she was thinking to herself, as is written here, "Great is the prodigy of the Immaculate Conception, but my celestial mama had no trial during her conception. Everything was favorable to her, both on the part of God and on the part of her nature. Created by God, so happy, so holy, so privileged. So what was her heroism and her trial? If the angel was not exempted from the test, nor was Adam and Eden, was the queen of all alone to be exempted and not to deserve the most beautiful halo that the trial would have placed on her august head of queen and mother of the Son of God? So Luisa was thinking like, oh, did Our Lady have like, so Luisa thought, oh, maybe Our Lady didn't have a test during her conception. But Jesus actually told her that she actually did have a test. So as Luisa was thinking this, Jesus told her, "My daughter, no one can be acceptable to me without the test. Had there been no test, I would have had a mother slave, not free. And slavery does not enter our relations or our works, nor can it share in our free love. My mama had her first trial from the very moment of her conception. As soon as she did her first act of reason, she knew her human will on one side and the divine will on the other, and she was left free to adhere to any of these two wills, and without losing one instant, knowing all the intensity of the sacrifice she was making. She gave us her will without wanting to know it ever again, and we gave her ours as gift, and in this exchange of donation of wills on both sides, poured all the qualities, the beauties, the prodigies, the immense seas of grace of the Immaculate Conception of the most privileged of all creatures." So we can see from this passage here that Our Lady did have reason from the moment of her conception. Like even before she was born, she had a test like, whether to never know her human will or to just place her human will on one side or to just join like her will to the divine will. And even before Our Lady was born, she passed the test. And that's the incredible thing I learned when I started reading the divine will. Like I never read this in any other books, but in the divine will, you can learn how even in the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady, she passed the test, and that should inspire all of us. So really, Our Lady is our great intercessor for us to help us pass all these little tests Jesus gives us. And so even Our Lady passed the test, our Lord also, and so we really have no excuse to say we can't pass the test. It's impossible, because it's not true. Jesus all gives us the means to pass all these tests and quizzes he allows in our life. So continuing on with this passage, "It is always the will that I am used to testing, all sacrifices, even death, which were not directed to me from the human will, would nauseate me and would attract not even a glance of mine. But do you want to know what was the greatest prodigy worked by us in this creature so holy, and the greatest heroism of this creature so beautiful, that no one will ever be able to equal? She began her life with our will, and with our will she continued it and fulfilled it. So one can say that she fulfilled it from the moment she started it, and that she started it there where she fulfilled it. And her greatest prodigy was that in each one of her thoughts, words, breaths, heartbeats, movements and steps, our will poured upon her, and she offered us the heroism of a divine and eternal thought, word, breath, heartbeat operating in her. This raised her so high that what we were by nature, she was by grace." And then connecting with what Sister Pamela was saying earlier about the incarnation of our Lord in Our Lady's womb, Jesus tells Luisa, "And our will made her worthy to be the mother of her own creator." So we can see here from the moment Our Lady was conceived, she was given this test and she passed the test. And also to like make reparation for Eve's disobedience, Our Lady made reparation with her fiat to God. And then I like to read this little passage from Maria Valtorta from volume 1, where Jesus tells Valtorta about the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. "I said, Mary loved since she was conceived. What is it that gives light and knowledge to the soul, grace? What is it that removes grace, original sin, and the mortal one? Mary, the Immaculate, was never deprived of the remembrance of God, of his closeness, his love, his light, his wisdom. She was therefore able to understand and love when she was but flesh, forming around an immaculate soul that continued to love. And we also read something similar in the Book of Heaven, like from the moment of Our Lady's conception, the moment of Our Lady's conception, she loved and she passed the test. So really, we can hold on to Our Lady's hands every day and say, Mama Mary, please help me live more in the divine will. Please help me to pass all these little tests and quizzes. Oh, yes. Yeah. So speaking of tests and quizzes, yesterday we watched a very beautiful documentary called I Am Fire about the life of Father Henry. And during his conversion, one of his conversion experiences was that Jesus gave him a dream about this like report card. And instead of subjects like school subjects, there were the virtues. And before his conversion, he saw that his grades were very bad. But in the divine will, like when we call Jesus into all our activities by doing acts and rounds, he'll help us to get all good grades and all those virtues of all those tests and quizzes God allowed.
I mean, these are joyful times, of course, but these are serious times also. We really have to adhere to what our blessed Lord is telling us. He's explaining to us. He's guiding us. Again, he's not going to invalidate our free will. If we don't want to be saved, it's okay. He says, well, it's not okay, but he's not going to prevent us if that's not what we want. I love in volume 33, June 6, 1935, Jesus says, quote, you must know, and this is very important too. The you must know is really you must know. In fact, there's a book called You Must Know. It's available on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org, on the page entitled Divine Will Resource Library. It's free to download. So you must know that, this is Jesus speaking, that I always love my children, my beloved creatures. I would turn myself inside out so as not to see them struck. So much so that in the gloomy times that are coming, I have placed them all in the hands of my celestial mama. To her have I, Jesus, entrusted them, that she, our blessed mother, may keep them for me under her safe mantle. That's our refuge. I shall give her all those whom she shall want. Even death shall have no power over those who shall be in the custody of my mama. And then the last part, I just want to jump down just two sentences. Again, our blessed Lord speaking, quote, whomever my celestial mama touched, the scourges had no power to touch those creatures. Sweet Jesus gave to his mama the right to bring to safety whomever his mother pleases, end quote. Is this important? Is this not important during these times, during any time? This is serious, but it's joyful because God has given us the antidote. We know we're poisoned, but we have the antidote. It's within reach. It's within reach. It's for everybody. Right, Sister Francesca?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That was powerful. Yeah.
What a passage.
It made me think of, you know, when we stay in the arms of our mother and father, you know, a child doesn't even really know when there's danger around. The parents do, but, you know, the child just so safely stays in the arms of their parents that they're not even sure what's going on around them. And I think that's where we have to be, not that we have to live in ignorance and not know what's going on, but we don't have to let it disturb us because we are in safe quarters. As long as we stay in the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we have nothing to fear. I also wanted to read a passage about Our Lady that, just moved my heart so much the other day. It's from volume 34, December 20th, 1936. I was talking about, we had a friend come over today and we were washing dishes together after lunch. And we were just talking about like how we don't rely enough on Our Lady. Like, you know, yes, she says, yes, we pray the rosary and we talk about her. We call her Mama Mary, but do we really treat her as our mother? And this is exactly what came to mind the other day when I was reading this passage. Like, I've only begun to understand, you know, how much Our Lady is truly, truly, truly mom to all of us. So This is what our Lord is saying to us through Louisa. He says, listen to me, my blessed daughter, the wonders and surprises I shall relate to you are unheard of. They will amaze everyone. I feel a loving need to tell everyone what we have done with this Heavenly Mother and the great blessings that all generations have received through her. Now you should know that in the act of conceiving this Holy Virgin, our divine will, which possesses everything and in its immensity embraces everything and has total knowledge of all possible and conceivable things, when it conceived the Virgin with its powers that always perform universal acts, by its creative power, it called all creatures to be conceived in the heart of this Virgin. But this was not enough for our love. And in an incredible frenzy of love, we had the Virgin conceived in, we had the Virgin conceive in each creature. We had the Virgin, I'm sorry, we had the Virgin be conceived in each creature, so that each creature might have a mother all to herself, so that everyone might experience her maternity in the depths of their souls. My mother's love keeps souls conceived within herself, but they are more than her children, since by being in more than one place at once, my mother conceives in each soul and is available to rear them and guide them, freeing them from dangers and using her motherly power, feeding them her love's milk and the food of the divine fiat, which she herself was fed. And I'm just going to skip a little bit ahead. Jesus continues saying, acting like a true mother, she would call all her children to herself, covering up and hiding their acts in hers and covering them with her triumphs and victories, offering to them as a gift all her acts, victories, and triumphs. In this way, anyone wishing to become a saint will find his Heavenly Mother's endowment with her triumphs and victories, that he may reach the heights of holiness. In the same way, weak men or women find the strength of their mother's holiness and her triumphs so that they too may find strength. The afflicted and the wretched find the gift of their Heavenly Mother's sorrows so that they may achieve the triumph, the victory of resignation. Sinners find the victory and triumph that is forgiveness. In short, everyone finds in the Sovereign Queen the gifts, support, and help for the condition in which they find themselves. And oh, to see this Heavenly Mother do in each creature as a mother does in a most moving, ravishing, and enchanting spectacle. We feel her loving and praying in her children. This is the greatest wonder between heaven and earth. We could not have given mankind a greater blessing. My goodness. And as I was reading this, I thought, this is beautiful to read, but then I also have to live this. I have to live this total reliance on our Blessed Mother. We have to have that before our minds all the time. We lie in our Blessed Mother's heart. We have access to all the treasures in her heart. So anytime we feel that we're in need of something, if we're lacking something, we can find it right there. I mean, when we find ourselves in difficulty or struggling or maybe in darkness, in sorrow, if we're bearing a cross, whatever it is, we have to remember that our mother is in us. I mean, this is a reality. This is a truth that our Lord tells us. It's, he likes to tell Louisa, this is not just a little saying, you know, this is a reality. And we have to turn to our mother who's so ready to console us, who's so ready to transform us, who's so ready to teach us and guide us and protect us. I mean, she's a powerful mother and she doesn't want anyone. Just think of the best mother that you know on earth, how protective she is of her children. Magnify that by like a bazillion, you know, magnify that infinitely. And that's who you have residing in your heart, thanks to God's goodness, who's conceived his mother in our hearts. A little while later, Jesus goes on to say, you know, be more grateful for this truth that I'm about to tell you. You know, you're not grateful enough for the great gift that you have in my mother. And it's true. We haven't even begun to realize who we have in her. And then in another passage later on, which I won't read, but I'll just try to paraphrase, Jesus tells Louisa that he even gave his mother divine fecundity. So she didn't just conceive Jesus in her own womb, but she was given the power through the divine will to conceive Jesus anywhere she wanted, in every soul. So not only do we have Our Lady in our soul, but she's conceiving Jesus in us. And it's really, the passage is so beautiful because it talks about, oh, how wonderful it is to see my mother taking care of both me and you. So she's nurturing Jesus in your soul. She's nurturing you in your soul. It's just so beautiful. She's got her heavenly mantle wrapped around us. So like Sister Jacinta was saying, you know what? We really have no excuse, you know, in our shortcomings, in our failures, in our weaknesses, go to our Blessed Mother. She's going to cover us with her strengths, her victories, her conquests. When we feel like what we do is not enough, let her cover us with her acts, her virtues. And the more we start living by that, the more we start growing more and more into the image of her Son.
Right. And if you don't trust us, trust the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 507, which states, quote, "At once Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church," end quote. So wouldn't you want to emulate the perfect model, the perfect realization of the Church? I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to grow in holiness. That our model is there. In fact, she tells us that in humility, "I'm your advocate, I'm your mother. I am your way to Jesus." We all want to go to Jesus. We all have to go through Mary. Beautiful. Mother?
Yeah, I was just reading here in volume 14, May 12th, 1922, our Lord was saying, "If you knew how heavy it is for me to use justice and how much I love the creature," and we know that because there's so much sin, it's so prevalent in the world, and yet he's so patient, he waits. "The whole of creation is for me like the body to the soul, like the skin to the fruit. I am in continuous, immediate act with man. Although created things hide me, just as the body hides a soul. However, if it wasn't for the soul, the body would have no life. In the same way, if I withdrew from created things, they would all remain without life. In all created things, I visit man, I touch him, and I give him life. I'm hidden in the fire, and I visit him with his heat. If I were not there, the fire would have no heat. It would be a painted fire and without life. But while I visit man in the fire, he does not recognize me, nor does he give me one greeting. I am in the water, and I visit him by quenching his thirst. If I were not there, the water would quench no one's thirst. It would be dead water. But while I visit him, he passes before me without bowing once to me. I'm hidden in the food, and I visit man by giving him substance, strength, and taste. If I were not there in taking food, man would remain on an empty stomach. Yet ungrateful, while he feeds on me, he turns his back to me. I'm hidden in the sun, and I visit him with my light almost every instant. Yet ungrateful, he repays me with continuous offenses. I visit him in all things, in the air that he breathes, in the flower that gives off its fragrance, in the breeze that refreshes, in the thunder that strikes, in everything. My visits are innumerable. Do you see how much love I love him? And you, being in my will, are together with me, visiting man and giving him life." So as we live in his will, we are visiting him in all of these things I've just mentioned, that he's in everything. And as we live in his will, we are visiting man in all those things with him, because we're living life with him as he's living. We are in him and he is in us. So how patient God is and how much he loves us to give us himself in everything he created all around us, and how we don't notice him. And we're just talking about Our Lady and how much we should just go to her and ask her to take us by the hand, to lead us further and further into living in God's most holy divine will, to give him to give her everything that we have to give to Jesus. She returns everything to him. She's such a loving mother. She wants us to live in his divine will more than we desire it. It says, I just want to end with something here. It says, "Come," this creature saying, "Come descend into my soul together with Jesus. Renew in me the visit you made to Saint Elizabeth and the prodigies you worked for her. Ah, yes, my mama, bring me Jesus, sanctify me. With Jesus, I will be able to do his most holy will." So without Our Lady's help, we can do nothing. She is the mediatrix of all graces. She's the co-redemptrix. And the church will proclaim it one day. But she is our mother. She gives us all graces come to us through her, and everything goes back from us to Jesus through Our Lady. So we must really depend on her and go to her. She's such a loving, kind mother that just loves her children so much and just wants to bring them to her son. Teach us how to love him in the right way.
Amen. You're right, Mother. She will be proclaimed those dogmas, maybe the fifth dogma. But, you know, all of this, the council is in agreement with it. I mean, Father Nuzzi wrote about the 2012, 2016, I think, councils. And they're in agreement. They just haven't been given the grace in order to explain it through a Catholic perspective. Again, not to cause division, controversy, or confusion. So it will happen. I think the divine will, the book of heaven will explicate what we already know about our Blessed Mother, and everything will come to fruition. Wanted to close, if I may, Mother, with something, a question we may ask each other. Why me? Well, God chooses the simple. He tells us in volume 10, December 25th, 1910, he chose the shepherds for that reason. He chooses us for that reason. He chose Father Gobi for that reason. He chose Sister Bernadette for that reason. The simple. Doesn't need to learn it to enjoy this gift. He needs to learn it to explain this gift, but not to enjoy this gift. Both can do that. It's available for everyone. Thanks be to God for this, for you, Mother, for the sisters, and for everyone listening. Please, 888-408-0201, please make a donation, and we'll send you that relic card, and we'll send you the I Am Catholic card, please. Thank you so much. God bless you all.